And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy of Vernon, offering 5-star rated personalized propane service for customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. Now in their 80th year, Superior Energy goes above and beyond with their customer-first focus. Call 800-242-0427 to discuss your propane needs, or visit propanect.com for a live chat.
Well, it's time in the Afterglow, your time, owned by you and spent by you in a way that is most productive. Hi, I'm Father John. Well, together we share a brief bit of time. We shake off some of the worries that have consumed the day. Thank you for joining me. Well, as April winds down and makes its way into the history books, we need to end the month and begin a new month with some encouraging words. Words that help you believe in yourself, because once you begin to believe in yourself, others will begin to believe in you as well. Once you place a high value on yourself, others will value you as well. To hold something in esteem means to hold it in favorable regard, to consider it valuable. Self-esteem is to hold yourself in high regard, to think of yourself as a hot property, a uniquely valuable individual, a one-of-a-kind collector's item. Many people blame their low self-esteem and feelings of inferiority on others. But you cannot have low self-esteem thrust upon you without your permission. You can't be stepped on again and again unless you lie down and let people step all over you. You always have the choice. Pick yourself up off the floor, get up and go forward, or lie there and play dead. If you choose to move ahead, you are emancipated. From that point on, you are 100% responsible for your self-image. To harness the power of self-esteem and make it work for you, begin by acknowledging that you have the free will and free choice to take full responsibility for who you are, how you see yourself, and what direction you're going to point yourself toward. There's only one person who can lift your low self-esteem and raise it up to the heights of self-love and self-confidence. And that's you. We'll have some fun today as we get it all together in the Afterglow. We're just getting started here in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, and this is WJMJ. We're at 88.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WJMJ.org. Together, we unwind, relax, and get life back into balance. Now, looking through the pages of history reveals that just 20 years ago, on August 29th, 2004, the U.S. National World War II Memorial was open to the public. Over 16 million brave men and women from the United States went all over the world to fight World War II. It was a courageous sacrifice that many young people undertook after the bombings of Pearl Harbor. They prevented Nazi Germany from controlling Europe and possibly the world. It was thanks to this heroic effort that the United States government commissioned a memorial for World War II. To build a memorial, it took a long process of 17 years and donations of over $160 million before it was completed. Consisting of 56 pillars and a pair of small triumphal arches surrounding a plaza and fountain, it is located on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. About 4 million people a year visit the memorial to pay tribute to the men and women who fought for and died for our country. The U.S. National World War II Memorial, dedicated to Americans who served in the armed forces and as civilians during World War II, just 20 years old today. And it was on this day in 1945 that U.S. forces liberated one of the first Nazi concentration camps. In 1933, the German government wanted a place to put criminals. The result was the Dachau concentration camp, which originally was an abandoned ammunition factory. But as soon as World War II started, people seen as enemies of the Nazi regime were put in these camps, such as Jewish people and Catholic priests. The Dachau camp could only hold about 5,000 people, but the Nazis forced 15,000 prisoners to live in the camps at one time. The overcrowding caused extremely unsanitary conditions, dangerously low food supplies, and highly contagious diseases. Many people died in the camp until the Allied troops made their way through Germany. It was on this day in 1945 when American soldiers liberated the camp. Tonight in the Afterglow, on this 79th anniversary of Dachau's liberation, we remember the victims of concentration camps and the horror they endured.
Sweet echoes of you.
You're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John. This is WJMJ. That was Amy Grant with I Will Remember You. And so on this 79th anniversary of the liberation of the Dachau concentration camp, we remember. Here's where we take time now to look deep within, check out what's on the inside, and see if we should be proud or embarrassed to see it reflected on the outside. Yes, I am only one, but still, I am one. I cannot do everything, but still, I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. We journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Little 6-year-old Megan walked into the kitchen and said, "Hi, Mommy. What are you doing?" "I'm making a casserole for Mrs. Jones next door," said her mother. "Why?" asked Megan, who was a very curious 6-year-old. "Well, because Mrs. Jones is very sad. She lost her daughter, and she has a broken heart. We need to take care of her for a little while." "Why, Mommy?" "You see, Susie, when someone is very, very sad, they have trouble doing the little things like making dinner or other chores. Because we're part of a community, and Mrs. Jones is our neighbor, we need to do some things to help her. Mrs. Jones won't ever be able to talk with her daughter or hug her or do all those wonderful things that mommies and daughters do together. You are a very smart girl, Megan. Maybe you'll think of some way to help take care of Mrs. Jones." Megan thought seriously about this challenge and how she could do her part in caring for Mrs. Jones. A few minutes later, Megan knocked on Mrs. Jones' front door. After a few moments, Mrs. Jones answered the knock with a, "Hi, Megan." Megan noticed that Mrs. Jones didn't have that familiar musical quality about her voice when she greeted someone. Mrs. Jones also looked as though she might have been crying because her eyes were watery and swollen. "What can I do for you, Megan?" asked Mrs. Jones. "My mommy says that you lost your daughter, and you're very, very, very sad with a broken heart." Megan held her hand out shyly. In it was a Band-Aid. "This is for your broken heart." Mrs. Jones gasped, choking back her tears. She knelt down and she hugged Megan. Through her tears, she said, "Thank you, darling girl. This will help a lot." Mrs. Jones accepted Megan's act of kindness and took it one step further. She purchased a small key ring with a plexiglass picture frame, the ones designed to carry keys and proudly display a family portrait at the same time, you know the ones. Mrs. Jones placed Megan's Band-Aid in the frame to remind herself to heal a little every time she sees it. She wisely knows that healing takes time and support. It has become her symbol for healing, while not forgetting the joy and the love she experienced with her daughter. And that's where faith meets life.
Looks like it's over. You knew I couldn't stay. She's coming home today. We had a good thing. I miss your sweet love. Why must you look at me?
That was Sad Eyes by Robert John. But you can't be sad. You're with me. I'm Father John, and we're here together in the Afterglow on WJMJ. And today, the Catholic Church celebrates the feast day of St. Catherine of Siena. Born in Siena, Italy in 1347, Catherine had religious visions ever since childhood. In 1363, she joined the Sisters of Penance of St. Dominic. For the first 3 years in the order, she stayed isolated in her room, seeing only her confessor. Out of the 3 years of prayer and contemplation came a rich theological system, including her theology on the precious blood of Jesus. At the end of her 3 years, she believed she had a divine command to go out into the world and serve as a means of saving souls and for her own salvation. She worked to bring the papacy of Gregory XI back to Rome from its displacement in France and to establish peace among the Italian city-states. Because of this, she is declared to be a patron saint of Italy, sharing the title with St. Francis of Assisi. In 1970, she was declared a Doctor of the Church by Pope Paul VI, and in 1999, she was declared to be one of the six patron saints of Europe. An important figure in the history of the Church, as tonight we remember the heroic virtue of St. Catherine of Siena on her feast day. And today also marks the birth anniversary of a pivotal figure in the history of jazz. Edward Kennedy Ellington was born on this day in 1899. Who? Well, you know him better as Duke. Yes, as Duke Ellington. Duke started with music at a young age, taking piano lessons as a kid and writing his first composition by ear while working as a soda jerk. He would become a successful musician in his hometown of Washington, D.C. before moving to New York City and becoming a part of the Harlem Renaissance in the 1920s. From there, his career would go on to span over five decades. Duke would originate over 1,000 compositions, many of which would become standards, and he was also responsible for assembling the best-known jazz orchestral unit in the history of jazz. But even though he played jazz, Duke never defined his music as such. He considered his music to be beyond category and defined it as American music. Duke Ellington died on May 24, 1974, from lung cancer and pneumonia, and his last words were, "Music is how I live, why I live, and how I will be remembered." And tonight in the Afterglow, we remember Duke Ellington and his music on his 125th birth anniversary. Let's celebrate his life by taking a ride on the A train. Thank you. remembering Duke Ellington with Take the A Train here in the Afterglow, born 125 years ago today. Well, it's the end of April, so we're winding down not only on Jazz Appreciation Month, but closing the book on a month dedicated to holy humor and to stress awareness. They relate and interrelate. A life without jazz, without humor, is most likely a life with a whole lot of stress. So we try to cultivate a better sense of humor, laugh more often, look to the lighter side of things, don't take yourself so seriously. We need to recognize the healing power of Christian joy, humor, and celebration. So it's story time now in the Afterglow. And this story comes with a very important message about forgiving, letting go, and coping with the unexpected. A boy was born to a couple after 11 years of marriage. They were a loving couple, and the boy was the apple of their eye. When the boy was around 2 years old, one morning the husband saw a medicine bottle open. He was late for work, so he asked his wife to cap the bottle and keep it in the cupboard. His wife, preoccupied in the kitchen, totally forgot the matter. The boy saw the bottle and playfully went to the bottle and, fascinated by its color, drank it all. It happened to be a poisonous medicine meant for adults in small dosages. When the child collapsed, the mother hurried him to the hospital where he died. The mother was stunned. She was terrified how to face her husband. When the distraught father came to the hospital and saw the dead child, he looked at his wife and uttered just four words. What were the four words? What is the implication of this story? Answer. The husband just said, "I love you, darling." The husband's totally unexpected reaction is proactive behavior. The child is dead. He can never be brought back to life. There's no point in finding fault with the mother. Besides, if only he had taken time to keep the bottle away, this would not have happened. No one is to be blamed. She had lost her only child. What she needed at that moment was consolation and sympathy from the husband. That is what he gave her. If everyone can look at life with this kind of perspective, there would be much fewer problems in the world. Take off all your envies, jealousies, unforgiving attitudes, selfishness, and fears, and you will find things are actually not as difficult as you think. Something to think about.
Seconds, hours, so many days. You know what you want, but I'm walking your way. Every moment lasts forever. When you feel you lost your way, what if my chances were already gone? Started believing that I could be wrong, but you gave me one good reason to fight and never walk away. So here I.
Going on. starting to believe.
And so that was Chris Allen with a song called No Boundaries. We're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John, and we get together every weekday evening from 7 to 8 for some music, meditation, motivation, and creative inspiration. Thank you for your company this evening. Lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to. They don't have to trust God if something unexpected happens. They have their savings account. They don't need God to help them. They have their retirement plan in place. They don't genuinely seek out what life God would have them live. They have life figured out and mapped out themselves. They don't depend on God on a daily basis. Their refrigerators are full and, for the most part, they are in good health. The truth is, their lives wouldn't look much different if they suddenly stopped believing in God. They are the lukewarm people. And Scripture says of lukewarm people, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek are those who are willing to be used by God. Amazed that God would love them, they are just as surprised that God could use them. They are a junior high school clarinet section playing with the Boston Pops. They don't tell the maestro how to conduct. They're just thrilled to be part of the concert.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances off your head. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Monday of the fifth week of Easter. Lord, what is all this about? The Enigma machine was a very clever cipher or system of signs used by the Germans for transmitting military information during World War II. It encoded messages that the Germans believed would never be deciphered. However, in the quiet surrounding of Bletchley Park in the English countryside, Polish and British mathematicians worked away at the problem. And finally, Alan Turing made the crucial breakthrough that cracked the code. Now they could understand everything. Like Enigma, life in this world can be a very complex problem to solve. Reading the signs and interpreting them correctly is not easy. Religions and philosophies down the ages testify to the many efforts made to decipher the meaning of life. When Paul and Barnabas journey into Lycaonia, they meet a people whose religion is full of the gods of Greece. When they heal a crippled man, They are thought to be gods themselves. Paul therefore sets himself to cure their misguidedness and to interpret for them the signs that are in the world. Heaven and earth and sea and all they hold are made by the living God. The rain that falls gives us crops and food and happiness in life. All are gifts of God. This simple interpretation speaks of a God who loves us. Now Paul and Barnabas are bringing a message of that great love of God for us in the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great sign of God in this world. In his story, not only is the puzzle of life addressed, but also the mystery of death. The riddle of death has been solved, the power of death overcome. When this sign is received and understood, Jesus the Lord, then life's mysteries unfold and we begin to see clearly. Life, with all its confusing signs of light and darkness, love and hate, is unlocked for us in the sign of Jesus, who died on a cross and rose for our salvation. It is His Holy Spirit who continues today to teach us how to read the signs and to live the great mystery of life.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
And now on this Monday, the 29th day of April, on the memorial of St. Catherine of Siena, as the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, we reflect on God's nourishing and loving presence with us. So we close our time in the afterglow with prayer. Watch, O Lord, with those who wake or watch or weep tonight, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones, bless your dying ones, soothe your suffering ones, pity your afflicted ones, shield your joyous ones. And for all your love's sake, we pray, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
I submit this day to you, Lord, and all that has been in it. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I refuse to entertain any negative thoughts. Help me to not look at the lives of others and feel that my life falls short. Help me to not envy others who don't seem to suffer as I have or struggle in the ways that I do. Help me to refuse to allow self-pity to dominate my emotions. Thank you, Lord, that my hope is in you. It will not ever be cut off because I will be with you forever. Help me to not give place to fear or depression. I will not dread any part of this day, but will find only joy, peace, and purpose in all of it. Thank you, Lord, for all that this day has held, because I know it is good.
Be still, my love. Know that I am God. Be still, my love. Know that I am God. The mountains shake, the waters roar, the valleys tremble with and yet our strength, our refuge sure, whispers in our ear, saying, be still, my
O Lord, you have favored your land and brought back the captives of Jacob. You forgave the guilt of your people and covered all their sins. You averted all your rage. You turned back the heat of your anger.
Bring us back, O God, our Savior. Put an end to your grievance against us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will your anger last from age to age?
Will you not restore again our life that your people may rejoice in you? Show us, O Lord, your mercy and grant us your salvation.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? Show the moon where to hide till evening. Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I
This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. Whoever keeps my word is the one who loves me.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is your name, and holy.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me. Behold, behold, the mighty one has done great things for me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Whoever keeps my word is the one who loves me. Wondrous God, in Jesus you restore our life. In faith we pray.
O God, lead us along the everlasting way.
Prosper efforts to secure the needs of families with loved ones in prison and in the military. In faith we pray.
O God, lead us along the everlasting way.
Gladden the hearts of Jews as they end their celebration of Passover. In faith we pray.
O God, lead us along the everlasting way.
Give parents of young children patience, compassion, wisdom, and restful sleep. In faith we pray.
O God, lead us along the everlasting way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
May God show us mercy, nourish our joy, and grant us salvation through Jesus, our peace. Amen.
Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray that you with steadfast love would keep your watch around us while we sleep.
From evil dreams defend our sight, from fears and terrors of the night. Tread underfoot our deadly foe, that we no sinful thought may know.
Be still my love, know that I
nations fight, though kingdoms fall, though spiteful hearts will harm, your mercy holds us, we hear you call.
We now offer a prayer requesting the intercession of Blessed Michael J. McGivney, priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford and founder of the Knights of Columbus.
God our Father, protector of the poor and defender of the widow and orphan, you call your priest, Father Michael J. McGivney, to be an apostle of Christian family life and to lead the young to the generous service of their neighbor. Through the example of his life and virtue, may we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, more closely, fulfilling his commandment of charity and building up his body, which is the church. Let the inspiration of your servant prompt us to greater confidence in your love, so that we may continue his work of caring for the needy and the outcast. We humbly ask that you glorify your venerable servant, Blessed Father Michael J. McGivney, on earth, according to the design of your holy will. Through his intercession, grant the favor I now present. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and the chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Lighten our darkness, and in your mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. Visit this home, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from it the snares of evil. May your holy angels dwell with us and guard us in peace through the night. And may your blessing be always upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be still, my my love.
May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you to protect you. May he go before you to lead you and follow after you to give you strength. May he watch over you and keep you in his care through the night and bless you with peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Night Prayer in the Afterglow with Father John. Thanks for listening. In the Afterglow, a time of reflection and relaxation is underwritten in part by the people of Superior Energy of Vernon, Connecticut. Now in their 80th year, they offer personalized 5-star propane service to customers throughout Connecticut and southern Massachusetts. For more information, call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com. Coming up is Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from the WFMT Radio Network. This is WJMJ at 88.9 in Hartford, 107.1 in New Haven. WJMJ Catholic Radio, where faith meets life, and where we're inviting you to be to enjoy an entire evening of relaxing music tailor-made for you.